Good morning. We start with a new song this morning. It's called Come Away from Rush and Hurry to the Stillness of God's Peace. From our vain ambitions worry, come to Christ to find release. Come away from noise and clamor, life's demands and frenzied pace. Come to join the people gathered here to seek and find God's grace. There are some wonderful new hymns in this new hymn book, and it's going to be interesting to delve into some of them and learn them. So Grace is going to play that through for us, and then we will sing it together.
Thank you, Marcia, for leading us in that new song. Welcome to all of you who have come to worship here this morning. Welcome to this bright space. Did you notice? I sure did. I think there are people to thank. I have heard it might be Herman and Bart. It might be more people. I don't know. But thank you to those who helped. If you want to see the difference, the balcony lights are the old ones, and the sanctuary lights are new ones, and they're daylight bulbs, and thank you for that work, and it makes it very bright in here. So, may the Spirit of God fill you and this space with the presence of peace and a yearning for more love and understanding. Today is Anabaptist Fellowship Sunday, a day that we remember the first adult baptism that took place January 21st, 1525 in Zurich, Switzerland. When I was in grade 11, I had the privilege to travel with my parents and my sister to be in Europe. And we went to some of these Anabaptist places, and we were in Zurich. And actually, a couple of years ago, Matt and I were again in Germany on our own and went to the river Thames, river, I don't know, and where some of the martyrs had been drowned. And it really brings it close to us what the people who were very, very strong in their faith stood for. I think, would we be that committed? But We want to remember that day. It is a day that Mennonite World Conference churches in 58 other countries worship the same resources, perhaps, or have a guest speaker come in, or watch it on video these days. And remember, we are part of a larger family, a larger global family of faith. My sister just sent a message this morning. She's in Germany, and they had in their service a Zoom meeting with a person from Indonesia, hearing his stories, sharing his stories of joys and challenges their church faces in Indonesia. That is where the World Conference is to be this summer. It was canceled last year, so they are still going on with it, and some of it will be online, I'm sure. But let's remember and pray for the many communities of faith around the world. Could you join me, please, in the call to worship written in the bulletin? I will read the light print while you respond with the dark. Jesus calls to praise and prayer, to song and silence. Jesus calls us to worship. Jesus calls us to hearing and healing, to service and solidarity. Jesus calls us to love. Jesus calls us to advocacy and action, to protest and provision. Jesus calls us to justice. We hear the call of Christ. We worship together with joy. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together to worship you here this morning. Quiet our minds from our week's activities and concerns so that we may feel your presence and hear your voice. Bless those who are absent, but not from our hearts. Bless those who are distant, but not from your love. Bless each of us here that we may choose justice, show kindness with mercy, and walk humbly in your path, O God. Amen.
We're now going to praise God in song. Let us start with the HWB hymn book number 55, Let's Sing Unto the Lord. And there are two verses we will sing in English, please. Please stand if you can. Number 55.
Let's sing unto the Lord. God made the sky above, the stars.
you for your wonderful singing. It's interesting singing with a mask. It's very muffled. Let's go to now sing The Journey and the song that we know very well, Lord Jesus, You Shall Be My Song. Remember that verses 3 and 4 are on the other page, the next page. We'll sing everything in English.
The scripture reading today is Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release of the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing."
I ask you now to turn in your Sing the Journey green book, number 44, The Love of God. Please stand if you can.
Good morning and welcome here. I have to add my welcome to everybody else's welcome, just so that you know that I also am welcoming you here. And you are all welcoming each other, I am sure. And for those who chose to stay home to keep themselves safe, to keep others safe, we also thank you for that action, for that choice. And we respect it and we honor it, because we all want this to be over, but we want to journey through it as safely and as well and as lovingly as we know how. And I was talking to someone this morning, and we all recognize it's by fits and starts. You know, you start making progress, or it seems like progress, you move forward, and then suddenly things change. More information comes in, and you have to back up, and we all respond differently to different information, and we go forward, and we back up. It's simply the way things need to be right now. Here, however, we are here to gather together, whether physically or distanced, together as one community, to share together our concerns and to lift those concerns in prayer before God. We bring them to each other because we bear one another's burdens. We also bring them before God as a flavorful aroma before the throne of God. God invites our prayer. God invites our communication. Whatever that is, God is listening and ready to hear, as are we. If you have something you would like to share, now is a good opportunity. Oh, yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is an announcement plus a Thanksgiving, is that you may recall that in December, we had one of our giving projects was for the Canadian Mental Health Association, and it was kind of an unglamorous project. We were contributing to the project being touchless bathroom accessories like soap dispensers and faucets. And we were given a price for their new building, which is right close to our church here, will be $1,600 for the four bathrooms. And I'm just thrilled to be able to say that during the month of December, that project from your donations brought in $1,787. And so that, I was just thrilled, I have to say. I'm not an employee of CMHA, but I can be really excited on their behalf because they are an excellent organization. So I thought, oh, well, that's... Okay, so we said it was $1,600, but maybe that was tax-free. So then I thought, well, just for the heck of it, I would take 11% on that. And it was another $176. So even if there was tax to be added in, we're still $11 over. So great.
Thank you. Thank you for letting us know that, Bart. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we humble ourselves before you, worshiping you as we are, your creatures, your children, your beloved, because you said so. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for your love. Thank you for the life you have granted to us. Thank you for the ability that we have to come here, to join together, to demonstrate our commitment to you by setting this day apart. Thank you for the offering that has been given today and throughout this week. Thank you for the offering that was so generously given throughout all of December. And we can rejoice together in giving to the mental health building, to the people who benefit, the people who work there, and the entire community. That we recognize we are a part of this community, not separate, not so set apart that we cannot feel for our friends and neighbors. Thank you for this chance you gave to us. Help us to keep seeing ways that we can demonstrate your love to all those around us, in our families, in our living communities, in the streets around us, and in the entire world as we hear what's going on around us. Pray for the school system, that labyrinthine system, including so many different people doing so many different tasks, some seen, some unseen. And we pray for your protection on everyone. Because we have been praying against this virus, against this disease, against death and sickness, we pray against this, and we ask that you would heal our land, not only us, but the entire world. We look to you. We recognize we are in your hands. And in humility, we come and we plead and we pray. Give us endurance, but also give us the strength to continue forward one day at a time, knowing that you do journey with us and that you are our song for the journey. We pray for these other churches in Swift Current and in Saskatchewan. We pray for churches who have needed to close their doors. The building closes, but the people move into other areas, other neighborhoods, other communities. We pray that you would strengthen those who have lost their home church, their home community, their easy community, and encourage them to find another community. As we remember Anabaptist World Fellowship, help them to remember there is fellowship. There is community, and we all need to find the place of belonging. We pray for our world and so many things that we fear might happen, so many things that have happened. We bring them before you because we are aware of these things happening. We feel the pain of those who are suffering. And we ask that you would comfort all those who need comfort. So many things we need to pray for and things we would like to change in our world. But knowing that you are creator of all, we humble ourselves before you and pray the way you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to open your Bibles to find the Luke passage, if you would like. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 20 is what Hannah read to us. And I say turn there if you would like, because there will be other passages that you might want to turn to or write down. Or sometimes people don't want to be flipping through their Bibles. They just want to listen and focus. That's up to you. I will leave it in your court. The Omicron riddle is what I entitled this message as. I had lots of different titles, as is usual for me, but this is the one that I settled on. And the reason that I wanted to talk about Omicron was because it's what everybody's talking about all the time. Am I not right? Can you go a day without hearing that word? We cannot. And it concerns us. It is high in our attention and awareness. And some are saying, but I come to church to get away from all of that. I agree with you to a certain extent, but we bring it here because we bring ourselves here. We bring our concerns here. And we come here because we need to find ways to live in our world. I also did this because this is what Jesus and the Apostle Paul did. Use the things that are most prevalent in your society to teach those that you're speaking with. So I'm going to give it a shot. I made this one up, this Omicron riddle. So what is more prevalent or more transmissible than Omicron, but that we can inoculate ourselves against? I'm not looking for an answer. If you would like to send me an answer, clever or humorous, I fully expect that. I love texts and emails. In whatever form you want to tell me, that's fine. I just thought, yes, this is something to think about. And I want to use terms and words and ideas that we are thinking about all the time, but with a spiritual spin. So that our living is always seen through a spiritual lens, rather than saying, this is the world and this is my belief and my religion. Doesn't work that way. It's brought together. Our beliefs, our spiritual system, if you want to call it that, needs to be enmeshed with what we are living in. Sorry for that participle hanging there at the end. I hadn't put it in soon enough. I had to just drop it there at the end. So, the first pop-up testing site is found in Luke chapter 4. Since we're talking about Omicron, since we're talking about its prevalence, we need to have a pop-up, oh, surprise, testing site. And we're going to test and see, well, what is it that is so prevalent, so transmissible, and yet we can inoculate ourselves? What is that? And we hear this story. I think we've all heard this passage of scripture before. We've probably heard it more than once. And this is near the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth from a different writer. Last week we were focusing on John's story. Today we're looking at Luke's way of telling us the story. Oh, and I wanted to just remind us just for a moment about last Sunday. Remember I ended up with we need to grow and go with Jesus. Did anyone notice that the verse after our portion of scripture, you know, we always cut it off at a certain point, and the verse after that, after this wedding, after the changing of the water to wine, Jesus and his mother and his disciples, they left. They went somewhere. That verse is just sort of sitting there in the middle of nowhere. But it proves a point. And here we have it again. Jesus is on the move. Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee. So he had gone somewhere, experienced something, and then returned to Galilee. Jesus is moving and doing this in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as he was reading this passage, he came to the synagogue. This was his habit, nothing unusual here, nothing to see. And he stood up to read the scripture, gave them the scroll, and he found Isaiah. And then he found this part where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, and this is what I've been sent to do. This is my task. This is why I am here, basically, Jesus is saying. He's bringing good news to the poor. Sight, release, freedom, announcing favor. Then he rolled it up, sat down, and this has been fulfilled in your hearing. You heard it here first. Basically, that's what Jesus is saying. And as he sat down, notice in verse 20, the eyes of all were on him. Everybody's eyes were fixed on him. And he was here to proclaim the release and recovery of sight to the blind. Notice the connection. The recovery of sight to the blind. And we think, oh, yeah, and I've heard it before. I'm not blind. I'm hearing you, I'm seeing you. And we're thinking, yes, this is a good passage. This is good news for all of those who are blind, for all of those who can't hear. And my question for us is, what if it's us? What if it's us? What if we are the ones who are blind, who cannot hear? As I read this part, if this is good news to the poor, I remember Jesus said, the poor you always have with you. And I thought to myself, what if I am the poor? I am poor in good news. What if it's the blind that we always have with us because we are the ones who are blind? What if we have inoculated ourselves against the incoming of this word, of this good news, and it doesn't have any effect on us? If we look back at the Isaiah passage where this came from, this was found in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of God is on me because the Lord has anointed me, sent me to bring good news, bind the brokenhearted, liberty, release, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Doesn't say anything about blind here. What if we're the blind ones? This was Isaiah's message. This is what Jesus read, and they were all looking at him, and he said, now this has been fulfilled in your hearing. He chose Isaiah's message. And if we turn back in Isaiah, if you're looking at Isaiah, look back. Who is this Isaiah, and what message was it that he was sent to bring? If you look at Isaiah chapter 6, you'll find Isaiah's call. The task that he was given to bring, he volunteered for it. Verse 8, Isaiah chapter 6, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who will I send? Who will go for us? And then Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Remember, we sing that a lot too. Here I am, Lord, send me. And what's the task? We have to keep reading. Then he said, verse 9, go and say this to the people. Keep listening, but don't comprehend. Keep looking, but don't understand. Make the mind of this people dull. Stop their ears, shut their eyes, so they may not look with their eyes or listen or comprehend and turn and be healed. This was Isaiah's task. Go and preach, and these people will keep hearing and never hear, and looking and never see. And Jesus said, I'm here to bring sight again to the blind. Matthew 13 also refers to this passage, saying these people hear and never hear, see and never see, and they will never turn and be healed. What if, and this is a testing site, let's just test ourselves and see, have we inoculated ourselves against this? Always hearing, with no impact. Let's move on to another testing site, you know, because you can always get a false positive, a false negative, inconclusive. So if that's your situation, let's go to another testing site, get another test. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Some of you will say, I don't need to turn there. I know that passage very, very well. Good. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 31 talks about the ears, the eyes, talks about a lot of body parts. We are all one body. Anabaptist Fellowship Sunday, one body, the body in Christ. And what is Paul talking about with this body? He says, none of these parts, not the eyes, not the ears, not the mouth, not any part, can say, I am not essential to this body. None of the parts can say, others need to do something, but not me. It's okay if I don't do what I am here to do. None of the parts can say that. In the same sense, the body parts cannot look on another part and say, we don't need that. We don't need that little toe. We don't need that back of the head. We don't need those parts that are not seen. Both ways. So who is then responsible for the well-being of this body? If each part, each of us is an essential worker, we need to be fulfilling our roles. All of the parts are one body. No one can say we don't need you, and no part can say I am unnecessary. What is the role of the body then? And who is ultimately responsible? The Holy Spirit filling up the body enlivens the body, just as Jesus came in the power of the Holy Spirit. For what? To reveal Christ in the body. This is the body of Christ. To reveal Christ in the body is the responsibility of each of us essential workers. Each of us is essential. It's good to us for us to remember, though, that we are not here trying to clone the body. That's not the work of the church. Cloning is right out. And we're also not trying to conform the body so that it becomes only one body part. Imagine the body is just one big ear, let's say. Isn't that weird? Those of you who like science fiction, just imagine that. The body, suddenly, you're not the legs and the arms or anything else anymore. You're just one big ear. Okay, if you don't want to be an ear, what about an eye? Gross. Just one big, and yet that's how we think about the body of Christ. In essence, because we come together and we think we all need to think the same. We all need to speak the same things. And yet that is not the case at all. We are not trying to all become one body part. We are actually rejoicing in the wide, vast diversity of the body. Think about your body. Pull one hair out of your head. Okay, those of you who think, no, they're too precious. Just touch one hair, hold one hair, and think how different that hair is from a finger, let's say. How different. And the use, and the function, and the color, and the adaptability, and so many different things, so different. That is how different this body needs to be. We need to be that different. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. Still the letter to Corinthians, still the voice of the Apostle Paul. He says, you are our letter. You people, we don't need to get a letter of recommendation from anyone, but you are our letter of recommendation. You, the pieces, the parts, the essential workers of the body of Christ, you are the letter of recommendation. You are each essential. Essential to what? This riddle that is so prevalent, so transmissible. You are essential that we not inoculate ourselves against it. We don't want to become so resistant that we no longer feel the impact of the Word of God spoken, read, seen all around us. We need to move to the next testing site. Third and final pop-up testing site, Psalm 19. I think you'll want to turn there. Psalms is not hard to find. Psalm 19. Since we are all essential, essential workers, each one of us needs to find the ways for us to share in the glory of God, to experience it, but also to share it with others. Some of you are saying, oh, no, don't go there. Because in Corinthians it said, not all are called to be evangelists, not all are called to be preachers, not all are called to be teachers. You are right. Yes, not all of us are called to be these public speakers, absolutely, but we're all essential workers. We are all essential to the ongoing work of the body of Christ, the functioning. I say that as a reminder because we look at Psalm 19 and we see right from the beginning, the heavens are telling the glory of God. The heavens are telling, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. It's everywhere, night and day, 24/7. It's everywhere you can imagine. It's in the air you breathe. You cannot inoculate yourself against it. It's everywhere. The knowledge of God, the beauty of God, the essence of God. And remember, we're not trying to clone one another. We're not trying to all become one thing, as different as night and day. Right there, the psalmist says it, different as night and day. So too is our awareness, our understanding of who God is, and then our sharing of that with someone else. Because if I, in the body of Christ, refuse to do my activity, my action, my sharing of my experience of God, then I am in essence limiting the body. Think to yourself, what happens when one of your body parts doesn't work, stops working, refuses to work? Let's say it's an eyelid. What happens if one eyelid refuses to work? It's disastrous, isn't it? And yet the hand could say, I don't need that silly eyelid. It just goes up and down. It can't make up its mind. We need each and every one of us and our experience and knowledge of God to bring the life to the entire body. And yet it's so completely different from one another. Don't say, I have nothing to offer. It's everywhere. Day to day pours forth speech. There's no speech, no words. Their voice isn't heard, yet their voice goes through all the earth. Look at verse 6, especially the end of it, talking about the sun rising and setting. God has put a tent in the heavens for the sun to run around in. There is nothing hidden from its heat, nowhere that the sun don't shine. You've heard that phrase. There's nowhere, however, that the sun does not shine. Nothing is hidden from its heat. So think to yourself, do you know anybody that needs a restoring of the soul? Do you know anybody that needs their soul restored? Might be you, might be your neighbor, might be your friend. Do you know anyone who's simple that needs a little wisdom? Do you know anyone who needs rejoicing, enlightenment, clean endurance? I'm not making up a list from somewhere. The next verses, verse 7, 8, 9, and 10, remind us all of the qualities of the Word of God, the instructions of God, the awareness of God. Like, he uses words here that are sometimes like decrees and commandments. They're oppressive to us. But if we recognize in all of nature, looking around, night and day is pouring forth speech, and as different as the sky is from the earth, as different as the air is from the water, and how full of amazingness they all are, so too is the Word of God, the ideas of God, all the being of God. I don't have enough words to really describe it. And yet that is what we have to offer. Each of us. Let's pray that God will, in fact, open our ears. Jesus came so that hearing can be restored, that sight can be restored to the blind, and that all of this amazing goodness can come forth through us, through each and every one of us. We are each of us essential workers. Each of us needs to be experiencing God in completely diverse and different ways. It's amazing. And then the rest of the body needs to be receiving from you what you have experienced. If you think the church is dying, the church is lopsided, we're so heavily weighted on one side, well then speak up. Bring forth what you are experiencing from God. And those others whose hearing has become dulled, allow these other diverse voices to speak to you and say, yes, Jesus restores our hearing, restores our vision. And this is the year of the Lord's favor. God has a message for you, and you need to share it with the rest of us. Amen.
Thank you for your message, Lord. And you have challenged us to open our minds and our hearts to God's word and to God's purpose for our lives. I would ask you now to turn to, if you have the hymn book, Voices Together, turn to 436, How Great Thou Art. And if not, it will be up on the screen shortly. Okay, this hymn is fairly familiar. So while Ike tries to get the screen working, I will sing the verses. You can join me if you happen to know them. And if not, just join us with the chorus, because I'm sure you do know that. Okay? Here we go. Please stand.
My God, when I in awesome wonder
Please bow for the benediction. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.
We have the words. Awesome. If you have a hymn book, and I see a lot of you do, you can turn to 849. We, your people, sing your praises. Again, this is a new song, so I'm going to ask Grace to play it once through. We'll sing it twice through.
We, your people, sing your praises as together we are sent to reveal your new creation in the shadows of lament.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.